Even Dick Clark's finally gone to bed. The Guy Lombardo Orchestra has packed away all the instruments, and it's officially the year 1996. Is January 1 always a turning point for those who stop and think about it? All this week, we'll find out. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. As we start the year 1996, Lonnie Melashenko is presenting a new radio series entitled Turning Points. And we have a special gift book for all of our listeners, so stay tuned at the close for that. First, though, here's part one in his series, Brand New Start.
Well, it's January 1, 1996. 1996, and it'll be several days, I'm sure, before we get used to the sound of that. I suppose today especially, Ken and I have to feel like we're really visiting on the radio with our very closest Voice of Prophecy friends. Today is a holiday, and so many people are probably sleeping in after midnight with Dick Clark and various other good times. And I'm sure some of our regular listeners are watching the Rose Parade on television. But you've still managed to remember our 15-minute appointment together, even here on New Year's Day, 1996, and we surely appreciate your faithfulness. All this week, Ken and I will be presenting a series entitled Turning Points, as we look at several people who made one decision that spelled a kind of destiny for them. Tomorrow's a fascinating story about a young man named Charles Van Doren, who was implicated in a television quiz show scandal back in the 1950s. He had his one moment in the glare of the spotlights, his one moment of decision. We hope you'll join us for that and for the entire week. But today, for just a few moments, we can kind of consider New Year's Day as a turning point for all of us. It is January 1, the first day on our new calendar. The books are closed on 1995. All of our past mistakes and errors in judgment and moments of impatience and unfulfilled promises, well, they're in the history book. New Year's Day is always a kind of turn in the road. 1996 is brand new, and it's all ahead of us. There's so many spiritual portraits we could paint on a January 1 to our small but loyal holiday audience. Will you let me simply put two of them on the table? First of all, is that clean slate. Maybe you're going to make New Year's resolutions, and maybe you aren't, but today is a beautiful and a spiritual opportunity to start again. This is the first day of a new year. What happened before is in the past, doesn't have to be recalled. You can begin again. You know, forgiveness is such an overused metaphor that sometimes we're simply not able to emotionally grab a hold of it. A past that's wiped away, gone. The Bible promises such a thing, but we don't really cling to that guarantee the way we should. Let me just read for you right now the sure word of Scripture. 1 John 1:9 is a New Year's Day theme that ought to be broadcast from Times Square every January 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And friend, this is a Twin Towers proclamation that comes from both the New and the Old Testaments. Here comes the same headline way back in the book of Jeremiah. For I will forgive their wickedness, declares the Lord, and I will remember their sins no more. You know, as I look back at the past 365 days that carried a 1995 label on them, I've just got to fall on my knees and praise God for the gifts of forgiveness and divine forgetfulness. I'm a man of many failures. So often I've let my Jesus down during this past year, but God has promised to wipe it all away and then forget it. He truly does forget. Maybe you remember the exchange a few years ago in a comedy western where several men talked about how in baseball you sometimes get a do-over. Some controversial play at the plate is simply too close to call, so the players on both sides agree to a do-over. And one of the actors in this comedy wistfully longed that life itself could have a do-over clause. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, friend, a do-over is precisely what the Christian message provides. That's right, especially on New Year's Day. What went before truly is wiped away. Your sins are erased, taken care of. And the challenge on a January 1 is to simply accept that news. It doesn't become real unless we accept it into our lives. Now, today is a Monday, but think back with me to a Thursday. Jesus is just hours away from being crucified, and he's surrounded by 12 selfish, pride-filled, conniving, pushing ahead of the crowd disciples. One of them's named Judas. And then there are Peter and all the others. All 12 of them with a huge need for forgiveness. They're all major league sinners. And even Judas could have been forgiven that evening. As Christ washed his feet, the Savior loved this errant disciple. His heart went out to him. He longed to give him a New Year's Day gift of a fresh beginning, of forgiveness. I'm sure Jesus wanted to say to him, "Judas, I know what you've done. I know about your secret deal with the priests. I can hear those 30 pieces of silver jingling in your purse right this very minute. But Judas, I forgive you." And yet Judas wasn't willing to accept forgiveness. His mind was made up. He was going to stay on that other road. The offer of a new beginning was one he couldn't bring himself to accept. Peter accepted it. John accepted it. All 11 of the other men finally held out their hands and took from their master the New Year's Day gift of a new beginning. All except Judas. How is it with you right now, friend? You can be forgiven for the sins and the stains of 1995. God's offered it. At this very moment, it's being held out as we enter these first virgin hours of the new year. But the taking of that gift, the believing in it, the accepting of it, that's your choice. And now, for just a moment, focus with me on the theme for this week, turning points. Those key junctures in the life of a man or a woman where a major decision is made, a decision which carries eternal consequences. The rocky road up to paradise, or the smooth, slippery highway down to everlasting darkness. New Year's Day is a good time to think about such turning points. And I'm sure that on January 1, 1994, and January 1, 1993, and maybe even going back to January 1, 1933, you've been sitting quietly and considering that fork in the road. Would this be the year when you really and truly and absolutely gave yourself wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ? Maybe in past years you've said to yourself, "Well, I will try harder. I'll get to church more often. I'll try to read my Bible." But it never was really that full surrender that would constitute a turning point. You never really did change roads. You simply changed lanes on the same road or just eased up on the gas pedal a little bit. You made turns, but never a U-turn. Today, friend, maybe God is calling you to that more radical decision. Not just an edging closer to something, but a completely new beginning. You don't just change your necktie, you change your entire spiritual wardrobe. Could it be that this day, January 1, 1996, could be that turning point day for you? Why not join me in prayer right now as we consider that very possibility? Lord Jesus, here we are in the first fresh moments of the year 1996. And Father, we praise your name for the gifts of forgiveness, for the divine offering of a new beginning. Maybe there's someone listening to the radio right now who needs a completely different life. This is their turning point. Lord, the moment of critical decision. Past opportunities came and went, but Father, you've been good enough to bring another chance to each of us right now. Be with that man, that woman, that teenager, that child listening by the radio at this very moment. And we thank you for all of your promises that we can indeed begin again here on January 1. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Friend, we have just a few spare moments on this holiday, Monday, January 1. So Ken and I are going to play an old, old song going back to the year 1977. Here's a very baby-faced Christian girl named Amy Grant singing "Brand New Start."
When I think of all of the things he's doing for me, it makes me stand in wonder at what he's making me to be. Trying to walk through straight but getting turned around. Always making my master take a back seat and wait around. But I praise the Lord for giving me a brand new start each day. And I praise his blessed name for guiding me all along the way. If he didn't, I wouldn't even try. Well, maybe you can't see a change. You know these things can take time. But now that I've found Jesus, well, he's given me peace of mind. Now every day is just a chance to grow closer to him. I may not win all the battles, but it's a victory in him. So I praise the Lord for giving me a brand new start each day. And I praise his blessed name for guiding me all along the way. For if he didn't, I would surely die. La la.
Friend, we'd like to send you a free copy of Lonnie Melishenko's book, Your Most Radical Decision. This is a tremendous way to face your own turning point of 1996, and I can promise you this book will be a blessing to your family. Here's that title again, Your Most Radical Decision. Write to us at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That's 1-800-872-0055. Lonnie?
Thanks, Ken. Friend, tomorrow we'll be here again with another Turning Point program about a man named Charles Van Doren and the 1950s TV quiz show scandals. I hope you'll join us. Until then, this is Lonnie Melishenko, together with Kenneth Richards, reminding you that it's always true, friend. God loves you.
This is Seasonings, a quick look into the lives of men and women who made their world better or worse.
Johnny was a rascal. He didn't turn bad because his mother neglected him. Far from it. With infinite patience, she guided the mind of her little boy, teaching him many passages from the Bible and reminding him that she had dedicated him to God. When Johnny was 6, his mother died. His father quickly remarried and Johnny was sent off to a boarding school. At 11, Johnny went to sea as a cabin boy. For the next 12 years, he shook his fist at God. He tried every sin he and his sailor mates could imagine. March 21, when he was 22 years old, was a day that Johnny never forgot. He and his companions found themselves on a rickety ship in a terrible North Atlantic storm. For days they pumped and bailed, despairing of life and expecting to go to the bottom at any minute. During those terrible hours, God spoke to Johnny, and the young sailor made a promise to God that day. Miraculously, the ship rode out the storm, and John Newton, teenage rebel, became a minister for the God he had cursed. He was the author of many appealing hymns, among them, Amazing Grace.